When Cindy and I first got married, we started getting into puzzles. We didn't have a television, and we started just putting puzzles on the table and putting them together and having fun with that. And I remember one specific puzzle. Do you remember those 3D puzzles that after, and pictures that it was kind of like a white puzzle with a whole bunch of little squiggly lines and stuff, and when you stare at it, something pops out from underneath of it? You remember that back? It was really big back in the 90s. So we bought this one puzzle that had a bunch of pieces in it, and we'd sit down around the table, and we'd start dropping in the pieces and this kind of stuff. And as we did that, it started to come together, and we got excited. It's like, what picture is going to pop out at us? How is this going to look? And the more and more we kind of put together and started walking and building this puzzle, the closer it became. Well, I wanted to be the last person to put a piece in the puzzle. So I took a piece and I put it in my pocket. You know? And we were building this puzzle, and we're building this puzzle, and days went on, days and days. And finally, we got to the last piece. And I went to do it, but I realized there was two pieces missing. And I'm like, oh no. The puzzle was short a piece. We worked all this time on the piece, and she's like, oh, there's two pieces short. I know, I said, and I reached in my pocket. I said, I wanted to be the last person to put the piece of the puzzle in. And I said, now we found it. We got a faulty puzzle. So I put that down, and she says, I did the same thing and pulled hers out and put hers down. And we kind of went from there. On the first Tuesday here of every month, the elders get together for a time of prayer. We pray for this church. We pray for what the heart of the Father is. We pray and say, God, what do you desire for us as a congregation? And this past Tuesday, this past time that we met together, we prayed specifically for tonight's prayer summit. And as we started to pray, it was amazing. It was like that puzzle. The Lord started giving each one of the elders pieces. And each one of the elders pieces, and we shared it. And as we shared it, the puzzle started to come in together, and it was just like, wow, this is amazing. In our time together, the Lord gave the elders a word for this church for 2020. And this word, we all agreed that the Lord was speaking over the church, was expectant. Now, expectant means having or showing an excited feeling that something is about to happen, especially something pleasant or interesting. Another meaning is a person who anticipates receiving something, especially in high office. Have you ever walked into something with expectation? Have you ever felt that excitement just stirring deep within your soul? You know, my mom, she would say to me, Lance, I don't know what it is about you, but you're the luckiest kid I know. See, back at that time, we didn't have a really deep relationship with the Lord. We didn't understand the favor of God surrounds the righteous like a shield. And we walked in that place. It was just, I was lucky. We said, I'm a lucky kid. And there was one day, it was, I believe, my 7th or my 8th birthday. And my mom said to me, she goes, something special is going to happen today. I can feel it. I'm like, yeah. So mom said I can invite some people, and she drove us down to Crystal Beach. And Crystal Beach was this amusement park type of thing, and it was probably about a 3-hour drive, and we drove down to Crystal Beach. And when we got there, the park was closed. It was a Monday. I will never forget it. The park was closed. I'm like, oh, man. It was like Wally World. You know, we drove and drove and drove, and all of a sudden it's like, seriously? And we were greeted by the security guard saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. Can't come in. It's like, why not? It's like, it's closed on Mondays. And it's like, but it's my birthday today. Mom, you said that something really cool was going to happen. This is the worst birthday ever. So mom said, okay, it's all right. We got other plans. So she went to this place called Maple Leaf Village, which is outside of Niagara Falls. And it's the same type of thing. It's an amusement park thing. And sure enough, it was open. And we started to go with my friends and have a great time there. And there's one of those, I love those midway games. And there's one of those games, I don't know if you remember it, but you have a bowling ball and you roll it over a little hill and then it goes up a bigger hill and then it comes back down. And if you can get that ball stuck in between two hills, you win. But the first hill is small and the second hill is bigger. So usually it goes over the first hill, picks up momentum, then comes back faster and you lose. So I went and I did that. I tried that and sure enough, I won. And I won something really cool for me, that is something that I was getting to put in my room. I won a Buffalo Sabres garbage can. Oh, it was pretty cool. But the truth of the matter is such 40 years later, I still remember it. I still have that excitement. I still remember that time. My friends, as we're ending that 21-day fast, and we're just beginning to press into seeing the answers to many of our prayers, I want to remind you, a great verse that paints a picture for expectant is Romans 8:25. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open it up to there. It says, but if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Now, I like this in the Message version, and the Message version kind of groups things together. And I'm going to start in the Message version at verse 22. It says this: all around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult time of pain throughout the world are simply birth pains. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing within us. We're also feeling the birth pains. Those sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us, any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We're enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful our experience. Now, I don't know about you, but my philosophy has always been, when you see a woman who looks very, very pregnant, you never, ever acknowledge it. Absolutely not. You could look at her belly and see the baby kicking and just assume she ate Mexican jumping beans. You never say, okay, so how far along are you? It's very dangerous. But now if you know the lady and she's told you that she's expecting, it's a completely different story. We can celebrate then, can't we? We can get excited to see what is happening. We get to see the tummy pictures posted all over Facebook as the tummy gets bigger and bigger and bigger. What I'm so excited about is the couple is so excited, anticipating the birth of this child. The happy couple are watching and waiting, expecting this baby bump to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, what would happen if I told that happy couple that, you know what, don't get too excited? Who knows? You might not really be pregnant. I think that would be crazy. They may look at me and say, what is wrong with you, weirdo? It needs to be like this in our walk with the Lord. We need to walk with a heart of expectancy. We need to step into what God has for us and trust that He's going to fulfill His promises. We need to expect to grow in intimacy. Now, intimacy is sometimes, I think we can look at intimacy and think that intimacy is isolation. We often think in order to get close to God, we need to isolate ourselves from others, to push everybody away. But truthfully, some of our biggest breakthroughs will come through community. I love the body of Christ. And even as Pastor Missy this morning had us pray for one another, this is so important. Acts 2 verse 1 says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring windstorm. It filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. John Maxwell says, if we're growing, we're always going to be out of our comfort zone. My friends, it's okay to be out of your comfort zones. It's okay to step in that place. But sometimes we love that comfortable box so much that we want to just camp there. Now, I know that there's different types of people here. I know there's different things that we're attracted to. There's different things that we don't like to. Myself, I don't know about you, but I don't like heights. Heights has never been one of those things that I'm comfortable around. I remember when Cindy and I first got married, we bought our first home together. It was an apartment-style condo, and we had a unit on the third floor. And it was four stories total. And on the fourth story, the top level, the guy that lived completely right directly above us was a great friend of ours that we started building a relationship with. Well, one day, that tells you how long ago this was, one day Cindy and I decided that we wanted to rent a movie from Blockbuster. So we went out to get our movie, and we walked out. And as the door closed, all the doors in this place was very much like a hotel room. The door would swing behind you and automatically lock. You couldn't unlock it. So we walked out. We heard the poof behind us. And I said, "Do you have your keys?" She says, "No, don't you have your keys?" I'm like, "No." Now we're both locked outside of our place, and we're like, what are we going to do? So I found out, like, in order to get a locksmith to come out at night and this kind of stuff, back in that day, it would have been a couple of $100. And it's like, we don't have a couple of $100. How can we get into our place? What other options do we have? I said to Cindy, I said, "You know what? Let's go upstairs to Chris and Dana's, and I will climb out on the balcony, and I'll swing down into our balcony." She goes, "Are you crazy? That's four stories up. If you fall, you're going to die." I'm like, "Yeah, but we'll save ourselves $200. She goes, "That's a good point. Do it." So I went upstairs. I said, "Hey, man, we locked our keys out. I'm sure the balcony door is open. Why would we lock that?" So I said, "Can I just use your balcony, jump over?" And he's like, "Are you crazy?" He goes, "You don't want to do that." I go, "Yeah, I do." He goes, "Okay, I got to see this." So he took his belt, and he's like, "I want to help you." So he took his belt, and he put a loop through it and put it around my chest. And he goes, "I'll hold you." So he's on the balcony, but of course the belt is not very long. And I start to climb. I get on the balcony, on the outside of the balcony, and there's a pillar that kind of runs through the thing. And I grab the pillar, and I start shimmying down. But then I go like this. I'm like, "You got to let go of me." He's like, "I'm not letting go of you." I'm like, "Think about it. If I fall, you're not going to be able to hold me from this little belt anyways." He's like, "Good point." So he let go of the belt, and I started to shimmy down this pole. And I look down. I'm like, "That is far." And I swung in, and sure enough, I landed it, and it was like, yes! I broke my fear, I went through, and I went to the balcony door, and it was locked. And I'm like, "I guess you gotta call the locksmith, and now I'm stuck on the balcony, so can we get an urgency on top of that?" I said, wait a minute, our bedroom window's right there. Now, the way the bedroom window was kind of like this. I'm here on the corner of my balcony, the bedroom window is right there. Now there's nothing. There's no pillar. There's no nothing. I'm like, "I can do it." So I went like this. And I kicked it open. And then I'm like, "Okay, now what do I do?" So I went back and I held onto the railing and I kicked my feet up and I put them inside of the window. But now I'm laying perpendicular three stories up. And I'm like, "Now what am I going to do?" So she's like, Cindy grabs the phone. She calls 911. I'm like, "I can do this." And I did a sit up and I broke through the window and I made it and I unlocked the door. High fives. Now, smart or not smart, you decide. Regardless, it brought me out of my comfort zone and it saved me $200. My friends, can we agree together that this year, this moment, we will allow the Lord to take us out of our comfort zones? Can we agree together this morning that we will grow together in intimacy? This year, we'll make a choice to grow in intimacy. This year, we're going to make a choice that we will know God. This year, in prayer summits, we'll have other opportunities to carry one another's burdens to the Lord. We'll have opportunities to be able to pray for one another. We'll also share in the victories. Let's solidify this deep within our spirits. 2020, no matter what hindrances, what obstacles you have, for some of us that's tough. It's like, "You know what, I'm an introvert or I'm an extrovert." It doesn't matter. Let's grow together. Let's grow in the Lord. "Yeah, but Pastor, I'm a Trekkie and a lot of other people are Star Wars fans." It doesn't matter. "But Pastor, I'm a Marvel fan and there's DVC fans there." It doesn't matter. "Or Pastor, I'm a Chiefs fan and you know what? They're playing some other team this week. Who knows? I don't even remember. But God, it doesn't matter. May the Lord be glorified within our lives. Let's expect to grow in intimacy. Let's take those hindrances that we use and we allow them to coddle us and say, I'm not going to step out any further and break those doors down and say, God, not my will, but your will be done." There are a variety of different types of prayer that the Lord teaches us in His Word. And one prayer, one key prayer, is the prayer of agreement. You can read that in Matthew 18, verse 19 and 20. It says this, "I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything that you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among you." You know, one of the greatest things about the prayer of agreement is you can't pray it by yourself. We need each other to be able to step into that place to activate that prayer that is a powerful prayer where the Lord says, "I will do it." Let's expect in 2020 that we will grow in intimacy. And as we grow in intimacy, let's also expect that we will grow in holiness. To grow in holiness, we need a clear picture of what that means. Remember, the kingdom of God really is an upside-down kingdom. Perhaps when you hear the word holiness, your initial thoughts will go to a monk who takes his whole life studying a cherry blossom. Well, in the simplest definition, to be holy is to be dedicated or consecrated to the Lord, to be devoted to the service of God. Sacred means to be holy and to have a special connection with God. I like this quote. John Ortberg said, "The greatest moment of your life is now. Not because it's pleasant or happy or easy, but because this moment is the only moment you've got. Every past moment is irretrievably gone. It's never coming back. And if you live there, you'll lose your life. And the future is always out there somewhere. You can spend an eternity waiting for tomorrow or worrying about tomorrow. If you live there, you will likely lose your life. This moment is God's irreplaceable gift to you." Isn't that a great quote? Let's look at Hebrews 12:14. "Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will see. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord." We see here that to be a follower of Christ requires us to be all in, devoted, dedicated. In this passage, the Greek word for holiness is hagiasmos. It's from the root word hagios, which means to be set apart, holy, and different. It goes on, "Most holy a saint, the temple and the religious acts were consecrated. They were hagios because they were set apart from the normal pieces of everyday life." What's really interesting about hagios is that same word is translated all throughout the New Testament as saint. All believers, all Christians, people who have the Lord within them are saints. We've been set apart. We are set apart people, ones who are different. And that is a reality in God's sight, even though it may not be a perfect reality here on earth. So now let's take a moment, take a look at the person beside you and say, "It's good to see you, Saint Missy." The Bible says in Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world." The Bible teaches us in Galatians 1:4 that Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. So in other words, the world had such a great danger to our souls that this danger caused Christ, the Son of God, to go to the cross and deliver us from it. Throughout the Bible, the lines are definitely drawn between the world of unbelievers and the world of the children of God. James 4:4 says, "Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Jesus himself said, "The world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not in this world." I think holiness could become something that's just like, whatever. That's not even a real thing. It's not even plausible. So what does growing in holiness look like for us? I think that's a great question. I think that's a question that perhaps we need to journal and take to the Lord. Lord, what does holiness look like in my life? What does holiness look like for me? Ephesians 4 talks about putting on the new self, created to be God, like God in true righteousness and holiness. Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. God, my friends, needs to be our everything. God does not desire to be a side dish or just a portion. He desires to be our everything in all things. I think we can put and set up so many boxes in our life. We can have a God box. We can have a work box. We can have a school box. We can have a home box. We can have a social box. But the truth of the matter is God wants to be God, period. He wants to be the Lord of every area of our life. And for a Spirit-led Christian, there's only one box, and that's God all the time. Your flesh will always want to try to pull you back into that sinful nature, but we must remind our flesh that our sinful nature has been nailed to the cross, and it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Which brings us to our next point, expectant. We expect attacks from the enemy. My friends, we need to be wise. 1 Peter 5:8 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So what is our strategy? Knowing that there is an enemy, but not knowing when he will attack or how will he attack. Do we fear? Do we panic? See, the strategy is so important that tonight at prayer summon, we are going to spend some time seeking the face of the Lord on this one topic. We need to be equipped, but how are we equipped? Oh, my friends, Ephesians 6, 10 to 19 is such a powerful scripture for believers. A final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the God's armor so that you'll be able to be stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will stand firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. This portion of scripture is a full sermon in itself. And I urge you, friends, to get into it, study it, learn it, put on the armor of God. But again, would you join us tonight in prayer summit as we go a little bit deeper into this? This morning, because of time, I can only touch on the breastplate of righteousness. A soldier, he would have a shield to hold up and protect hits from the enemy. But it was the breastplate that would protect his vital organs. It would also protect from unexpected and dangerous intrusions. To walk in righteousness, we need to keep our hearts pure and our hearts clean. But how do we do that? Man, the Bible tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Lord, I desire to keep my heart clean, but God, I stumble and then I stumble and then I stumble. Our key for that is confession and repentance. In the New Testament, the key term for repentance is metanoeo. It has two meanings, a change of mind and regret or remorse. In both books of Matthew and Mark, Jesus begins his public ministry with the call to repentance. In addition, Paul is said to have preached to both Jews and Gentiles to turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, we know that attacks will come. Do what you can. But let's allow God to do what we can't. Let's allow God to renew us, to refresh us, to cleanse us. And finally, we expect the favor and the blessings of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Do you know what? You are a blessed people. And the Lord desires to pour out blessings in your life. Man, more than you can ever guess or request in your wildest dreams. I've had the Lord pour out so many blessings in my life. And I remember one time, one of the coolest blessings that I got. And I've shared this story before, but it's just so cool. We used to, when we moved to Cold Lake, we had this little sun fire. And this little sun fire, transmission was starting to go in. It was just kind of running into a lot of troubles. And I remember I used to set up times with friends. I got really into hunting. And I used to set up times with friends where I would say, would you come and help me to, if I shoot an animal, would you help me to be able to fix that, to be able to harvest it? And in saying that, I didn't want to take a deer and shove it in the trunk of a sunfire. You know what I'm saying? So he had a truck and he did that. And then when this car started to go, I said to Cindy, you know what, honey? I need to do something else because this truck, I need to get a truck to be able to do things. And we started looking for a truck and went and got a line of credit established to be able to get one. And I had a price in mind. And I said to a guy from the church who's kind of mechanically, can you look at this truck that I found and tell me if it's a lemon or if it's any good? And he's like, what are you looking for a truck? Why are you going to Edmonton for a truck? I'm like, well, I just found a good deal and I think it's a good deal. And he goes, well, if I can find one here in Cold Lake, would you get it? I'm like, yeah, sure. He goes, what about in Bonneville? I'm like, yeah, what does matter? So then he calls me up and he says, okay, I found a truck. I'm like, great. He says, what color do you like? I'm like, I don't care. He goes, what do you mean you don't care? I'm like, I don't care. Like, I just want a truck with four-wheel drive. That's all I really care about. He's like, all right. So then he hangs up the phone and he calls me back. He goes, okay, I found another truck. And he says, I need you to look at this truck. He says, do you like white? And I said, yeah, it's fine. He goes, well, what do you see your favorite color? I'm like, I don't care. I just want a truck to be able to drive. I don't care the color. I care about price. He's like, okay. So he goes, well, I set up three trucks in Cold Lake and three trucks in Bonneville that we're going to take for a test drive and look at it. I said, great. So he came and he picked me up the next day, and I went, and the salesman came out and shook my hand. He says, I hear you're looking for a truck. Yeah. He says, what do you want in a truck? I'm like, I don't care. I just want one that's got wheels and goes. And he says, well, I tell you what. He goes, I'm going to put you in a brand new $60,000 truck. It's got all the bells and whistles. Take it for a test drive. Let me know what you like in that so you know what options it has, and then you can make a choice from there. I'm like, all right. So we're walking to the truck, and I take the keys, and I give it to the guy that I'm with. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm not test driving this. I said, I want a truck around $5,000. I said, not a $60,000 truck. He goes, okay. So he started driving, and he's telling me all the things that it has in it. It's like, yeah, okay. But I'm not even really listening, to be honest. I'm just like, yeah, okay. And then as we're driving, he pulls over. He says, Pastor, I wrote you a note. I'm like, you wrote me a note? Why would you write me a note? I'm sitting here. It's just you and me in this truck. Nobody else. He's like, well, I'm not very good with words, so I wanted to write you a note. And he wrote me a note. And I stop and I read it. And it's just like, Pastor, I just want you to know I appreciate you and all you've done for me. There's a lot of guys in the church that have really, you've come alongside and blessed. And we just want you to know your truck is bought and paid for. And I read that. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I don't want to be presumptuous and say, what truck? Am I going to get to pick a truck and you pay for it? Like, what does this mean? And I said to him, that is awesome. I'm like, you know, Kevin, it's so cool to see what God's been doing in your life. And I can't take credit for any of it. It's God. He goes, you don't get it, do you? I said, well, I read that, but I don't understand what it means. He says, your truck is bought and paid for. I'm like, what truck? He says, this one. I'm like, this truck? Yeah. I said, this one right here. Yeah. We bought it yesterday, me and another guy who wants to remain anonymous. I'm like, you bought me a truck? And I was just like a deer. How do you say thank you for that? And I remember when I went back to the church and was just like flabbergasted. I ran into a guy in the church and I told him the story. And he said to me, he goes, you know what? I hate that. I said, what? He goes, things like that always happen for pastors, but they never happen for us. I said, my friend, that's a lie from the enemy. They happen to children of God. And you know what? There's nothing I have done that to deserve this favor. There's nothing I have done to deserve this amazing gift. But the Lord loves you just as much as he loves me. My friends, the Lord loves you. And if you're in this place and you're like, God just doesn't love me, and God just doesn't want to lavish upon me, you need to get in the Word of God. We need to have expectant hearts knowing what God is going to do. We need to have hearts knowing that he's a good father and he wants to bless us. Now, maybe it's not with a truck, but maybe it's with health. Maybe it's not with health. Maybe it's with whatever God desires to do. He's a good, good father and he wants to bless you in Jesus' name. That is God. Do you want a breakthrough year? Settle in your heart, in your mind, and your spirit that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. This little video I want you to close off with.
Jesus, why are you doing anything today? I mean, like, when I read the Bible, I see you do these incredible things, you know, like raising the dead and healing the sick and feeding the 5,000.
Right.
Why doesn't that kind of stuff happen today?
Well, Drew, things are still happening all around you.
I'm not seeing it. Like, for example, I'm thirsty and I want some water. Do you have any water for me?
Well,
of course you don't. See, this is what I'm talking about. It's like you don't even care about me.
No, Drew, things are still happening, even today. You just need to pay attention.
Okay.
Hey, Drew, I just went to the store and they're having a buy one, get one free. What? You want a water?
Yeah.
Okay, enjoy.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
Mmm.
That's great.
That is great.
Now, you didn't have the water.
Right.
Then you had it. Boom.
I know. It's so lucky that cat walked by, you know, with two for one.
Did you say lucky?
Well, yeah.
No, Drew, you didn't have the water.
Right.
You needed it. Then you had it. You see how that works? Huh?
Oh, I see what you're doing. Oh, I'm so rude. I'm sorry. Hey, Kathleen, thank you so much for the water. Appreciate it. Now, would you show me something amazing?
Amazing.
Yeah, I want to see amazing things, you know, like Moses parting the Red Sea. That was amazing, right? How about the next time I'm stuck in traffic, I hit the steering wheel, the cars will split, and I cruise on through. That'd be amazing.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I have a better idea. Keep your eyes open.
Okay. Excuse me.
Yes.
Hey, you dropped your wallet.
Thank you.
Sure, no problem. Okay, show me something amazing.
Yes,
amazing.
Of course.
Right. Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't take anything from my wallet.
Whoa, 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 I'm not a thief, right?
No.
No, you dropped your wallet, I picked it up and gave it back to you. Droppy, picky, givey. No takey.
I know. You know, thanks for your honesty. Here's 20 bucks.
What? Wait. Hold on. She just gave me $20 for counteracting gravity? That's amazing.
Yes, that is amazing.
Oh, man. How awesome. Now, would you show me something big?
Excuse me?
Show me something big.
Drew, how can I expect you to see me in the big things when you can't even see me in the little things?
My friends, it's time to break up with doubt and fear and allow faith to lead us to the heart of the Father. Tell yourself, I believe that God exists. I'm seeking him with my whole heart and I'm expecting blessings in my life. And then when those blessings happen, share them. Share what God has done. Don't miss out on prayer summits. Let's, as a church, go deeper into expectancy. Let's pray for one another. Let's encourage one another. For it's so key and so important. This morning, we want to invite you to stand to your feet. And if you'd like prayer for anything, we're going to have the prayer team up here. But let that just resonate in your heart. Maybe you're here and you're just like, you know what, Lord, I don't know if I really believe that you have everything for me. And I want to step into a new relationship or a new covenant with you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name.